Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic back again, and once again I'm joined by Andrew and Ross because we're here for a pitches video. We've got another beer.
Yes. We've been sat here for the last 2 days eagerly awaiting this video to get started. We're all in the same clothes. We'll have a second beer.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
not down in it, are we?
Are we down in it again? It's hard.
I don't want to do it again.
I've just felt better.
I want to sip this one. Oh.
Oh my god, that went down the wrong way for a second there. He done it.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Oh, he's done
Whoa.
It.
Man got two. I thought I started this video.
Content.
I don't want to do it, lads. I'm sorry. I'm going to get pelters in the comments for that. But
no pressure. No pressure. Enjoy your beer.
What's your gullet made out of?
I don't know.
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire.
Steel, then, therefore.
Yorkshire Steel.
We're back for another pitches video for WWE in 2022. Now, if you saw our last one on AEW, you'll know that these take more of a thematic feel, but there are some specific storylines if we want to as well. Andrew did a marvellous one in the last video, I must say. Plenty of burp as well.
I did three marvellous ones.
Yeah. Ross did three marvellous ones.
You got three yeses.
I did, yeah.
I did two and got a no. Oh, it's fine.
Well, just in case you missed it, he pitched Cody Rhodes to win the title of Hangman Page.
But it made sense.
Did it make sense?
Yes, of course it did. Anyway, this is about WWE, though, and we're going to be talking about our 9 pitches for WWE in the year 2020, going around in a circle. Ross, what did I say?
2020?
2022.
Whoa.
Going back in time. 2022, we're going around in a circle. Ross, Andrew, then myself, 3 times, and that'll leave us with 9 lovely pitches. But it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Ross, your first pitch, please.
Now, it's easy for me to sit here. Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
It's easy for me to sit here and say this to WWE when I'm not... it's not... when I'm not employed by WWE and don't work for WWE. But the title of this one is Stop Putting Your Bank Account.
Oh my God, a demon's just coming out of me.
Ahead of the quality of your show. You don't have a burp and it gets trapped. Yeah. And you have to try and go, get it out.
This is the start of the set. Now my pitch is.
Stop putting your bank account ahead of the quality of your show. As I say, it's easy for me to sit here and say this. But as a viewer and as a fan, as a consumer of your product, it ruins it, quite frankly. I'm thinking of Pizza Hut. Battle Royal. That's a lesser example. On a higher example, we have golden egg bollocks. Mm-hmm. We have zombie bollocks and other assorted bollockses. Yeah. now, I might as well spout this out there, but there's a hack theory on my part that somebody is setting up these deals. Let's assume it's Tony Khan. Nick Khan is not related at all, is he? Nick Khan, she's got the same name. Mm. He's setting up all these deals and bring them to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon doesn't want to do them, but Vince McMahon begrudgingly likes money, so is doing them. Because I'm thinking of the story that came out to do with the Golden Egg at Survivor Series. Apparently, the original plans for that was to have it in the 24/7 title picture because Vince saw it for what it was. A silly golden egg. But they were like, no!
Yeah, The Rock wasn't having that.
Pay you money! Yeah. Lots of money, let's have it higher up the card. Mm. So, I've taken from that that Vince could leave these, but he likes money. But he could leave them. And I'm going to latch myself onto that hopeful bit of the conundrum. So I guess this is a question of how much money is too much money for WWE.
Ooh. Ooh,
how much money is too much money for WWE? Can you have too much money? No. Can you have enough money? Yes, you can. And I reckon they get enough money from the TV deals, the Saudi deal, the sponsorship deals like Red Notice and stuff like that. But I guess they would maybe go down a bit in price because you're not getting, for example, golden eggs or zombies ruining your pay-per-views. You've got your Peacock things. You've got your network things. You've got your merchandise things. You've got all the other revenue streams that WWE have. YouTube, I assume they make a fair pretty penny from that as well. So how much money is too much money, Vince McMahon?
Oh, a question directly to Vince McMahon right there. Wow. Wow.
Just get by on enough. Enough is fine.
Vince doesn't need to keep making all this money.
No, he doesn't.
Especially when they come out every quarter and say, record profit margin. Yeah. Well, well done. But
you release 50 wrestlers a year this year.
Yeah.
Ah, you make up the difference in your money there, you knobhead.
Whoa.
Aye.
And why don't go on. And also, I feel like, just to add to your point, it's not just a case of, you know, morals or when they're releasing people but making all this money. It's not just a case of that. It also, it's less important, but it's still important as a fan. It also has a detrimental effect on the product. Mm-hmm. How much did that zombie thing dominate the show? Like, everyone was just talking about the zombie thing. How much did the egg thing make us think The Rock was coming back at Survivor Series and then he didn't? So,
and then I got paid off in one day, and then that left me annoyed on our podcast. And then we found out the story about Vince McMahon won it in the 24/7 title picture a week after that. So in turn, you're making us look a bit silly, Vince McMahon.
That's the most important part as well, we don't want to look silly either because of your money-making ways. Were you finished with your pitch, sorry?
I'm finished, yes.
It was a yes from me then, there we go. For the reasons I've just said.
Yeah, and a yes from me as well. It does diminish the product, very much so. And I know, like, to some certain extent, WWE is aimed at a younger audience, and I can see why they include the zombie stuff and the egg stuff, but it's just so inconsequential that it genuinely just doesn't need to be a thing. And then you end up with these pay-per-views being more of an advertisement for something than actually about the stories and things like that as well. It really overtakes everything else.
Oh, the opening package for Survivor Series was more about Red Notice.
It was more about eggs and Red Notice than it was about
the battle for brand supremacy.
And I guess that might be the reason why, because there wasn't really that much story leading up to Survivor Series in the first place. Anyway, was there?
But I'm not saying here that WWE shouldn't try and make money through sponsorship deals, because they've done that historically. I remember Paul Heyman getting very passionate about a Snickers bar back in 2001.
Skittles!
Skittles.
JR the Skittles.
Yeah.
Right. JR was the Skittles one.
I'm sure Heyman was the Snickers one. But they can still do that, but just not have it dictate the product.
Yeah.
Please.
I agree. I know.
Have the storyline dictate the product.
Because I guess that's the thing as well. It makes sense, doesn't it? Because of the wrestlers involved, the WWE wrestlers, and it does make sense to include stuff like that. Sorry, you're okay.
I know you're a heavy man, but stop, the table's coming up at that
time. Is it? Sorry. I'm getting very passionate about this.
If you're hearing background rumbles, it's because the table's banging the other table.
I do apologise. And I've lost my train of thought now. It's gone completely from me. But yeah, I get that it is down to, obviously, the wrestlers involved, the wrestlers with WWE, and understandably, they want to sort of advertise that as well. But at the same time, yeah, as you said, just don't let it dictate stuff, because then we end up just sighing and being sad for what wrestling has become, almost, you know?
It hasn't been used well. it'd be all right if it was used well.
Yeah
so far, definitely. 2021 being the most recent examples with the zombies and the golden egg.
Mm.
It hasn't been used well, has it?
No. Do hope they rein that back a bit.
Well, we're all in agreement on that one.
Yeah.
Andrew.
So my first pitch is Ross versus Vince McMahon. No, it's not. For 2022. I'll take him. Yeah, I bet you would take him as well.
I'll just force feed him a burrito. Set that IBS off.
Because he doesn't know what burritos are, right?
No, just set the IBS off.
Yeah, yeah.
Making some stodgy, some meaty.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I need to call it a meat wrap and embarrass himself.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
You do.
My first.
I shouldn't laugh at IBS. It's a horrible thing.
It's bad. Yeah. It is bad, yeah.
I feel bad about saying that now.
Well, but you'd beat him in a fight, though, I think.
Yeah, you would beat him in a fight.
I don't think I would.
Absolutely. No, you would.
He seems slap Austin Theory.
Oh.
I can't move that quick.
Hiya! What? You just proved you can't.
Whoa. Turns out Ross is a ninja.
He's a ninja.
Whoa.
My first pitch is to do with, and I've been saying it for a number of videos now, but what I want to do, I want to get it out there now so then I never have to say it again on a pitches video ever again. Right?
Right.
And this is it. Xavier Woods wins the Rumble and goes on to face Big E at WrestleMania.
Oh, Big E at WrestleMania. Big E at WrestleMania. Not Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
No, I've got a little thing. Oh,
okay. What's the storyline here, Andrew?
Let me tell you the storyline, boys. Are you ready?
Is it just a good old-fashioned straight down the middle fight between two good friends to see who is the better man?
Donnybrook?
Yes, yes. That was pretty much it.
Melee down Donnybrook Lane?
A square go?
Yeah.
A teeter.
A tete-a-tete.
That's not even a fight, is it? What's a tete-a-tete?
Isn't that like a dance?
Dessert, isn't it?
A tete-a-tete.
It's a dance or a dessert.
It's like a tete-a-tete. Well, should I just go through it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's been consistently great in all his matches this last year and probably prior to that as well. He's been so, so good, and he's had time to really prove himself as a singles competitor with Big E on Raw, Kofi out of the picture for a little bit as well. He's recently come back, but...
It's a short private conversation.
Oh, a tete-a-tete. And after his King of the Ring win, it really feels like there's momentum behind Xavier, and it also feels like he knows there's something special that's happening around him at this current moment in time. So his crown's been shattered, but in the grand scheme of things, the crown really means very little, because he's proven himself that he's the King of the Ring. He proved that prior without the crown, but now with that win under his kingly belt. Why did I write that? Under his kingly belt, he's ready to aim for the real gold and prove that he deserves to hang with the greats. So with Adam Pearce and Sonny Deville being meanies at the moment, they take this as a sign that Woods is like trying to insert himself into the main title picture without their consent. So they disagree with Woods being ready, though. He failed to topple Roman Reigns and his crown's been stolen. He's every bit as unprepared as anyone else in that locker room that's moaning and complaining that they're ready. However, they aren't unfair people. So they say to him, win the Rumble from the number one position. That way we'll really see if you're worthy of holding a title.
From the number one?
From the number one position.
That's the second hardest position to win from
WWE.
I
know, right?
Two's harder.
It is. Yeah. That's very
Everyone
true.
Everyone says this, but...
That's true, yeah.
Is that because you get a breather when you're number one after the entrance?
Yeah. Number one, you're in the ring first.
You get to, like, soak up all the sides, don't you? You're composed by that point. Number two gets no chance.
Nah.
Because, oh my God, I just thought about it. Number two has to slide in the ring whilst number one's already in the ring, so number one can get
already in the ring.
Advantage. Mental. Crazy. Just anyway.
Distract him with a zombie or a golden egg.
So, yeah. So Xavier does win. He wins the Royal Rumble.
Unless you're clever like Chris Jericho did in 2003 and got Christian to pose as him.
Oh, my God.
That's one of my favourite Rumble
Yeah, that's really
ever.
Good, that.
So good,
I forgot about that.
So good.
So Woods wins the Royal Rumble, and kind of like the trials of Kofi Kingston up to facing Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, Woods is put through the same ringer. You know, there's like gauntlet matches, handicap bouts, the whole lot, and Woods comes up short to Roman in the final stages of a gauntlet as the Usos help out their cousin. Roman beats down Xavier after the match, and he says he'll never be ready, which then makes way for Big E to run down to the ring and fight off the Bloodline. Big E turns to his friend, he picks him up, and he says, you are ready, you're more than ready. It's time for you to show the world what you can do. And Big E lifts his belt, and Woods nods in acknowledgement, and the two embrace, and the match is set. It's Big E and Xavier Woods at WrestleMania.
They sealed the match with a hug.
They're ready to go. They're best mates, you know. Big
What's
E's like, you are ready.
What's
wrong with the contract signing? Because they all go... Just like the last video, they all go nipples up, don't they? That's what happens.
Just say tits up.
Seal it with a hook.
Tits up.
Tits up.
Oh, naughty.
It's like making someone swear who doesn't want to swear.
I know.
It's awful.
But it's because of YouTube I'm scared of what YouTube
does. Tits is fine.
Tits is okay.
I mean, the word.
You all right, Paul? Like I said, I've been saying it for so long in so many pictures videos now. I kind of just want it one and done out there. I really want Xavier Woods to win the Rumble and go on to face Big E at WrestleMania. I really, really do, because I think Xavier Woods has been one of the best things about WWE this last year, and I think he can continue to be one of the best things about WWE going forward as well. And it doesn't... I just feel like... I know there's always, like, feuds and stuff building up to all these title matches and things, but what about, like... Just a huge look back at the history of these two people that have been together for so, so long. And then just like coming together for just like a big...
interviews.
Yeah.
The sit-down segments.
Yeah.
The childhood photographs. Even though they've not known each other since childhood. But still,
stuff like that. Like they you know, they come up together, they form this team together. It didn't do well to start with. And then they build this incredible thing in WWE that is beloved by everybody. And I think... to me, that's more compelling than Xavier Woods going on to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Because we've seen that. I think someone else can go on to face Roman Reigns, you know?
Special guest referee Kofi Kingston. Bye!
Maybe I spoke too soon right there. But yeah, it's just something that I really want to see, and I really want to see them strap a rocket to Xavier Woods. After winning the King of the Ring, I think it should be more than just... I get into this a little bit more in a pitch down the way, but I think the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring should be more than just a crown.
Yes.
Like, it needs to mean something, and I think this would really just elevate him into the next level, as he deserves to be elevated into the next level, you know? So that's the pitch. That's, yeah.
How could I say no to that? What an impassioned, structured, and fabulous pitch.
Thank
it's
you.
A yes from me.
It's a no from me.
Whoa! I can tell.
I don't like the fact, because in my mind, I just don't want to see it, quite frankly.
Okay.
I'd rather see a New Day triple threat match taking place. Oh, I don't like the way that Kofi Kingston has been swept to one side. He's the elder statesman of the New Day and the guy who paved the way, in a way, for this match to happen with the Kofi Mania stuff. And that brings onto me second gripe with this pitch.
Oh my God.
The rehashing of Kofi Mania.
Yeah.
You're just setting yourself up for failure by doing something like that again with somebody else who isn't as popular, quite frankly. Did you think about that? The Kofi Mania journey was organic. Here, you're trying to make it happen, and that never ends well.
I think you could make it organic.
It never ends well.
Because it was like his effort in the Elimination Chamber match, right?
Mm-hmm.
That really got people behind him. What about Xavier's
effort? And the fact he was Kofi Kingston.
And the fact that he's Kofi Kingston as well, which is amazing, and he deserved it.
Hey, Woods is Woods, though.
Woods
winning the Rumble from the number one position.
And I
think that could really like get everybody behind him, you know?
It could do. But it couldn't do at the same time.
I mean,
because I don't
not.
Think I'm speaking out of turn here when I say Xavier Woods does not get as big as pops as Kofi Kingston does, or did, or will.
Yeah.
But is that tide shifting now as we speak?
I don't know.
Or is that just because Kofi took some time off?
I don't like the rehashing of it.
That's okay. No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. That was cheap writing on my behalf.
Oh, right. No, stop. Andrew. No,
just because someone says no. Just because someone says no, it doesn't mean you have to then crap on yourself.
No.
It's fine. I just want to see something slightly different to you.
Yeah, that's all I've said. That's all right.
I'm not saying you're a bad person.
You know, I was listening to an interview between former F1 drivers, Jensen Button and Nico Rosberg the other day on Nico Rosberg's wonderful YouTube channel. And they were talking about team bosses being mean to them sometimes. Mm. Jensen Button said he finished seventh once at Monaco and he got out of the car and the team boss said to him, oh, were you just driving around looking for new flats in Monaco, were you?
Oh, God.
But he realised that maybe he wanted to push him or wanted to, you know, try and bring out the best of him. Mm. I feel like that's what Ross is doing to you now, Andrew.
He is doing that to me, and I'm greatly appreciative of that as well.
As you should be.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, boss. Thank you, boss man. Thanks for having me.
That's not how this has come about. There we go. I just want to see something slightly different.
Yeah, I completely get that.
And that's something slightly different is something better. It's called a New Day triple threat at WrestleMania.
Okay, I'll go for that.
Where they don't fall out, they don't split up, they just have a friendly Donnybrook.
Yes.
A melee. A three-way melee.
Just a little conversation.
There'll be some of those in the match.
Yeah, there probably will be.
A lot of tete-a-tete in wrestling matches, yeah. Oh, sorry, it's my go, isn't it? It's my go.
Yes.
End the obsession with mine. Sorry, mine's more of a thematic one along the lines of Ross's than a specific storyline like yours. But mine is end the obsession with big, sweaty men. I'm sorry if you've... I know it's your thing. I know it's more your thing complaining about how Vince loves big, sweaty men. But he does. It's true.
Yeah, I don't know the trademark on that.
Fair enough. And of course, in recent months, that's become more abundantly clear than ever with NXT 2.0, where these young, talented... Not young, necessarily, but these talented, athletic, indie, smaller, generally guys have been kind of pushed to the wayside. And who's been, you know, pushed the heaviest since then?
Von Wagner!
Von Wagner. And Bron Breakker, who's good. Like, he's got something about him. So an important disclaimer I'd like to make is that I'm not banning all big, sweaty men.
Mm.
I'm just saying, can we prioritize skill level and potential over sheer size and muscle in the future? Omos is another exception I'd make because he's just so big. Like, maybe that's hypocritical, but he's just so massive.
That is an attraction.
That is. Yeah. If I was in the airport and he walked past, I'd go, wow.
Wow.
But generally speaking, I think that it's a backward step for WWE to reinforce for some reason, especially in NXT, which was the antithesis of that, but reinforce this old 80s mentality. And I think that it's them going against the tide of the entire wrestling business instead. Because if we look over the past sort of maybe like 20 years, 15 years now, with the rise of Ring of Honor and everything, it's all been about, on the indies, you can be small and still be a really, really good wrestler, but WWE is the land of the giants. We've met former WWE superstars in person, and almost always they're bigger than you think they're going to be. Yeah. Like, the ones you think are going to be short are like 6'1 or something. I remember standing next to Hurricane and being like, what?
He's a big boy.
And then I remember... And
so
I thought,
Paul Heyman?
Yeah, Paul Heyman's 6'4".
Paul Heyman's taller than me and Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah, he is, yeah, yeah. He just stands next to Brock Lesnar all the time. No,
what the hell? That's insane.
It's crazy. Oh, my voice has gone a bit weird.
It's crazy that he's taller than 5'10".
It's absolutely... No, but Heyman
he does look like a solid 5'9 on TV, though, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he?
I couldn't believe it, and yeah. I felt like less of a man. No, but generally, I think that this policy of, you know, big, sweaty men, as Ross would wonderfully say, is a backward step, not just in terms of WWE's own product, but just in the general movement of the wrestling industry. And not even a recent movement, like one that, as I say, has been going back several years. So I'd like for that to not be a priority anymore, except in exceptional circumstances.
It's a yes from me, but with a slight tweak.
Okay.
A slight tweak of the lapel. Because in some instances, I mean, you think about back to when you get Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman just throwing each other, throwing massive bombs everywhere. There's nothing quite like that. Yeah. But those are two examples of big men who get it as well, who have charisma and who can cut a promo and who can do everything you need to do to be a professional wrestler. The ones that need to go away, and this might be a bit harsh because he's very new, I think.
Oh, man.
The likes of Von Wagner.
Oh, I thought you were... I had a different name.
Oh, no. Oh.
Who are you going to say?
Who are you saying?
Like Shanky or whatever.
Oh! Don't speak about the real Slim Shanky like that.
Actually, yeah, he deserves to stay because of that problem.
Yeah, but like I'm looking at people like Von Wagner, who are clearly... He's one of the leading lights of NXT in the booker's eyes, I would say. It's clear that watching the show and watching his promos that he's not quite ready to be up there.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they should rid of all the big lads. I'm just saying they need
pick
to be...
Pick and choose a bit more.
They need to be more refined or at least not pushed over clearly more talented smaller guys, yeah.
And this isn't writing Von Wagner off to start with, because who knows, he could come good in the future. Yeah. As we say, I think he is relatively new to the business, not just... Because he was a football man, wasn't he?
American football. He looks like it.
The gridiron.
Yeah.
All that stuff with the helmets and that. But he's just got no charisma. And he has no... He doesn't give you a single reason.
Well, there's no reason for him to be pushed this... They've not given us a reason for him to...
No.
No.
And he just... It just speaks for yourself, Von Wagner.
I was baffled with Von Wagner because, he's a big guy. But he's not, like... They've got bigger guys.
Yeah.
So if he's being pushed solely on his size, then why is it him? Yeah. I don't know, that's weird.
And to be fair to him, he wrestles well. Like, the moves he does, you think, wow, you're good at wrestling, you.
I imagine for his experience level, he's very good.
Just everything else, innit?
Yeah.
That makes up what a wrestler is, or a sports entertainer is. I don't like using that phrase, but you know what I mean.
In this pitch, I'm not saying that these bigger guys can't come good. Like, I also said Bron Breakker's, like, really good already, but they shouldn't be given an unfair priority because they're tall. But yes.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I say yes as well. As someone who was growing up watching wrestling, like, I mean, I was always more looking forward to watching the matches that had the smaller guys that were really good, the luchadors and everything as well, the cruiserweight division and stuff like that. And I wasn't too fussed about, like, the big boy slapping meat and everything. But I've grown to appreciate that a lot more as I've grown up with wrestling and stuff, and
it's a many ring circus.
It is, but at the same time, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I think it's really sad that some people, say like a Ricochet or something, gets pushed to the side, who's clearly incredibly good at what he does.
Yeah.
But yet, because he's not a big man, like, he gets pushed to the side and rarely even thought about on the roster and stuff like that. And I think that's such a shame. I genuinely think that's such a shame, because you could have him in the main event picture, I think.
Yeah.
At least, you know. And so almost have got that with him versus Brock Lesnar, and then him get absolutely squashed, and that was it. That was it for him. That was really sad to see, because the idea of a Brock Lesnar works so well with smaller guys as well.
Oh, he has his best matches with smaller guys.
Exactly. Ballard. And that could have been an amazing match to watch.
Brian, that was a great match.
That could have been an amazing match to watch, and yet we got 5 seconds and that was it. And it's such a shame. And I do think WWE would benefit more from including these smaller people in the top title pictures, I think it probably gets a lot of younger viewers into it a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's the
like
thing.
Rey Mysterio's got such appeal for kids, yeah. Well,
and that was it. Like, when I was... this is going to sound stupid.
Okay.
When I was younger, and when I wanted to be a professional wrestler, I was looking towards the people like Rey Mysterio and stuff. Because I'm not, like, the tallest person or whatever. I'm not the stockiest person and whatnot. And I was like, Rey Mysterio, even though he is a big boy at the same time for being the size he is.
Are you quick? Are you nimble?
I'm nimble. Whoa. I'm like the Matrix. Okay. I'm like Neo. Oh, I can run dead fast, mate. Mm-hmm.
And I believe
like,
it.
Yeah. And that would inspire me a lot more than it would like the bigger people, you know? And I think from an audience perspective, like putting smaller people in the title picture could bring...
Just variety.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you need to have a promotion of entirely small nimble people.
No, yeah, but more variety.
More variety.
Yeah, definitely.
And be how tall you are shouldn't be a barrier to like how far you can go.
Exactly. You
know? But yeah.
And yeah, so it's a yes from me because I think that
would turned into quite a serious discussion between the three of us there.
Three grave minds.
I'll move on.
You've got a front row seat.
Richard Tubman.
I'll move on quickly. I'll move on quickly to Ross's second pitch.
This one's called, I understand that releases need to happen, but the way they happen needs to change. So I'm proposing the WWE, much like a football transfer window, make themselves a release window, which I'm proposing would be a week. In a quiet part of the year, there's no taxes to pay, like no tax bills coming in. There's no Christmas, no holidays, no nothing. Just a quiet week in a quiet part of the year, and that's where your releases need to happen. Because the way they happen currently, the way they come out of the blue, no matter who you are, storyline being used on TV, not being used on TV, no matter what you've done in the not too distant past, they're very brutal and quite frankly, a little bit inhumane. So I'm proposing a nice part of the year, because I'm thinking of obviously Taya Valkyrie and Johnny Drip Drip both getting released just before the festive period. Nobody needs that, especially a household like that. So a window where not only I'm not putting fans first here, but you know, we get attached to these people, don't we?
Yeah.
And them getting released then makes us feel bad towards WWE. So us knowing it's coming, maybe it'll soften the blow for the fans. But more importantly, it gives the wrestlers time to get their affairs in order if they know maybe I've not been used on TV for a while. My contract's coming up. Maybe I'm on the brink of being released or whatever. So I'm proposing a week-long period where the releases happen because I understand it's a business. I understand that that rosters need to get sort of changed over from time to time and fresh faces brought in and older faces told to bugger off and whatnot. But I think just having that happen at a particular point of the year would help everybody and not less the storylines as well because obviously we need to avoid instances like Hit Row again where they're on SmackDown. Tegan Nox, B-Fab signs their contract a week before getting released.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen if we have a little window where that's where the releases happen. And I think, unless it's like exceptional circumstances, if, you know, something bad's happened and someone needs to get out of the company, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm thinking about the general sort of like widespread, right, get out, whatever you are, class of whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Big wide releases. So get them done 1 week of the year where everyone knows it's coming, can get their affairs in order and prepare for the worst if that's what you need to do.
Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
it's a no from me, but I've not got a solution. So I don't know how to explain this, but like WWE have really backed themselves into a corner because of the rapid policy change. So you had Triple H signing all these indie guys. Suddenly Vince has gone, nah, total 180. Now these releases, as you say, need to happen sort of to clear out the roster because it's just way too, it's bloated. Mm. But then the introduction of like a release window kind of normalizes something that really is still very bizarre. So for me, it's a no. But I get totally what you're saying. It's like a fairer way of doing it and it's fairer to the employees. But I feel like the problem like comes even before that. Like when they hired everybody and then suddenly changed. So I don't know. Maybe it's a yes then because we're making the best of a bad situation. I really don't know either way.
I just think the way it happens, it needs to change. It's obviously wrestling in its nature that the contracts that, whatever they are, they sign, they don't even class them as contracts, can you, in WWE? It's just sort of like, oh yeah, I'll come to your thing for a bit and you can tell me when to go away whenever you like. So I don't know if that's really a contract. But the releasings aren't a new thing, are they? It's obviously historically in wrestling. True, it's just true. I don't know how it's.
I'll change it. Do a yes because it's like I'm blaming you for that. A release window, preposterous. I'll say yes, but obviously the problem's like more deeply ingrained. Yeah. I don't know what to do about that.
I give it a yes, and I guess perhaps the contract also needs to change then, doesn't it? So when someone gets something, a doubt, the contract, you get a set thing, this is how long you've got.
They can't just say, right, you're done now.
And then they've given a release window, like you were saying, to sort of sort things out and figure out what's going to happen next for the people that are being released and whatnot. So I'm going to give it a yes, because I think that is a much more human, nicer way to do it, rather than, like you were saying, just before the Christmas period or when something important's coming up, off you go, you're gone. And it's so weird because, as you were saying, with the Hit Row stuff, they get called up. Very exciting that they get called up and then cut. And that's just not fair on the wrestlers at all, is it? To be almost promised something like, you're going to go far and then cut, done. Yeah. Like, that's it. And that's such a shame for a lot of people. So it's a yes from me.
Mind as well, when it comes to the storylines, in my mind, this is how it would work, but we know it doesn't work like that, and they write the shows an hour before the show goes on the air, but they could, in theory, plan ahead months on end for a storyline, and then they know that person's contract's coming up, they're not going to renew them, they can warn that's going to happen, and then wrap up a storyline with a proper nice, you know, arc, beginning, middle, end.
That would be really good.
Or maybe this is saying how WWE need to change the way they do the contracts and that them, because I get the feeling with certain AEW people, and I feel bad for bringing them up in this video because it's all about WWE, but it feels like they're bringing people on a contract where it's for a specific period of time, and then once that little contract's up, then they're free to go away and they know that's coming.
Like, what's he called, man?
Sam Allardyce.
No, not Sam Allardyce. All I can think is the name Matanza, because he played Matanza in Lucha Underground. Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb.
That's a while ago now.
It is.
But maybe that's how they should do things from now on. Maybe get the storyline in place, approach a wrestler to fill a role, and then bring them in for a period of time, and then we're all done. Everyone's happy. Yeah. Off anyway. But that's a massive, massive issue I've just brought there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one that needs to be talked about, though.
Another deep discussion on the podcast.
It is another deep discussion.
On the podcast, on the pictures video, sorry, excuse me, the lights are green.
And then I move completely away from that right now.
You do?
I guess.
Go on.
I want to say, in 2022, I want to see more Shayna Baszler, everybody.
Okay.
I want to see more Shayna Baszler. She's had a really good match on SmackDown. We're recording this when? Did we say the 8th of December?
It's the 8th of December.
So the 3rd of December, she had a really good match, I thought, against Sasha Banks. Like, really, really good showing. I think she had a good showing in the Survivor Series match as well. And without speaking too soon, it feels like we could maybe be getting back to some sort of track for Baszler, maybe. We'll see. Maybe that's too much of a...
Do you remember that 3-week period or whatever it was when she was breaking people's arms?
Yeah, but was that to soft reset what she's doing and get away from all the team stuff? Do you think, maybe?
But it was then followed up by a period of nout, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but then she got drafted, didn't she, though? Yeah. So maybe there was like a just a thing of like time to...
Every time she did that, I'd come into the office and Aiden, our news writer, would just be laughing.
Really?
At images.
What's wrong with
it? Images and video clips of like Nia Jax or Eva Marie getting their arm broken, just be going like, pretending it's real in his sick little head. No, I think he was laughing maybe at the selling. I don't know. Aiden loved it. He thought it was hilarious.
It's such a weird maneuver because when she does that and she puts her arm like that, there's a brief window where they can just go, see you in a bit, and she just stands the thing. But
no, Andrew, because their wrist is bent.
Oh, it's bent backwards.
You can't move all of it at once.
We could say this about every single
We could literally say that about every
apart from a clothesline, I'd say.
I digress. So why not utilize Sienna Baszler a little more? You know, a program with Sasha would be amazing, I think, down the line, because they had such a good match. And they both proved that they've got great chemistry together in the ring. Yes. Not to mention, if Toni Storm manages to beat Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's title, the matches both Storm and Baszler could have together would be amazing, I think.
It's what you want to happen.
It's what I want to happen. And they proved that as well in the NXT UK Women's tournament thing. They had a match for the qualifying and everything, and it was really, really good. So there's history there that you could build off and really start to elevate new stars into the picture, which would be nice to see, please. I want that more to happen in 2022 as well. But Shayna has like so much more to give, and this current showing on SmackDown, I really hope, is starting to prove that as well. She seems to have sided with Sonya Deville at the moment too, so now is as good a time as ever to really just play into that villainy role and put her into the title pictures a bit more, have her as a dominant champion backed up by like the higher powers and everything. And then that way Shayna can have a moment to dominate and prove herself on the main roster whilst also having someone like Toni Storm have to rise up through everything that that's being thrown at her to like finally get a triumphant moment too. So build multiple stars in the process and start to shake things up a little bit. Which I think actually, to be fair, in the women's division, maybe on SmackDown at least anyway, they've started to somewhat do. Maybe on Raw a little bit too, with Liv Morgan getting involved in the title picture. Like, yeah. I think they're actually starting to shake it up a little bit, which is genuinely like quite nice to see.
I don't know how long it'll last, but
yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, sometimes we get little hints of, oh, this person could do something really, really cool on the women's roster, and then it just gets taken away. And I think it's about time now that things start to change, like the guard starts to change, people start passing down the torch a little bit and letting other people have their time in the spotlight.
Who?
Like Liv Morgan and...
No, who do you want to see off your screens?
I don't want to see her off the screen. Charlotte Flair.
Okay, right, interesting.
I don't want to see her off the screen because she is a fantastic wrestler. She's been dominating the title scene for a long time. And it would be nice to see someone else come in and like prove, do you know what, I'm as good as you. I can do what you can do kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think Shayna Baszler, her run on NXT was so good. And for her to be moved to the main roster and be like a shell of what she used to be, it's such a shame. And
it's a shame of
Baszler. Shame of Baszler. And I genuinely would just like to see her be a dominant champion. She could very well be a dominant champion. And like I said, with Sonya Deville, maybe Adam Pearce and stuff behind her as well, you could just play into that role even more and just have her on top for a very, very long time. Build her up really strong and then have someone like a Toni Storm or a Liv Morgan come in and finally like dethrone her to make her the next big star.
Okay.
And more Shayna Baszler. I just want more Shayna Baszler. And I guess, as we go through this, generally just a lot more shake up in the women's roster and just start building towards new stars and bigger things, I guess. Yeah.
So more Shayna Baszler.
More Shayna Baszler.
More new stars.
More new stars, but more Shayna Baszler.
But more of the established star, Shayna Baszler.
Yes. He's got it.
It's a no from me, Andrew. Oh, okay. For one, I agree with your general theme.
Yeah.
The creation of more new stars is always important and everything.
Yes.
But there's just one, I just disagree with it being Shayna Baszler.
Really?
That's not her fault at all. I think Shayna Baszler is a really good wrestler and her NXT run, as you said, was magnificent. Yes. But I feel like I've seen far too much of Shayna Baszler.
Okay.
It's just the way that she's being used that's been crap. But me and Ross recorded a pitches video recently and we talked about tier list.
Yeah, I was going to say, where
this
was
is
I?
A pitches video.
Where was I?
Second time you've had to correct me. I'm so sorry. We did a tier list recently, and Ross reminded me of when Shayna and Nia were tag team women's tag team champions. Mm-hmm. They were on all three brands. That's I think they cropped up on NXT as well.
Yeah. They did.
I feel like I've seen Shayna like an awful lot this past year. That it's not been good, which isn't her fault. She's been good, but the booking's been bad. There was that feud with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah,
I just think that your general direction's right. I just think that Shayna needs to have a bit of a fading away before she comes back, because I think I'm just a little bit like, ugh, Shayna Baszler, which again sounds horrible because she's really good and it's not her fault.
Yeah.
But I think You need a different spearhead for your point, in my opinion, right now.
No, that makes sense.
Not that Sheena couldn't do it in a year's time.
Yeah.
Ross.
I'm giving it a yeah. I like Shayna Baszler. Yeah. I like the way she's been used on the main roster. You know, the sort of the first part, minus the vampire bit aside, and the 3 week period we spoke about off camera, I think. Was it earlier on in the video? I can't remember.
I think it might have.
She was breaking people's arms. Yeah, it was on camera.
It was like about the five minutes ago.
apart from those two little periods of time, I think it's been really underwhelming on the main roster. So to get her back to an ass kicking machine that we saw in NXT is something that would be good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Interesting.
My second pitch, excuse me, is quite similar to yours, but it's just more general.
Okay.
And it's better / more diverse storylines for the women's division, which is a point we've all made before, but I just think there needs to be a huge improvement across the board. Mm. Because, first of all, I want to ban on the word bitch in feuds, because how many times has it happened this year when two... They might not have even been in that big of a feud, but two wrestlers have gone, well, you're just a bitch, and everyone goes, oh! And it's you know, the men call each other bitches as well, but the women do it in, like, it's been in, like, nearly, it feels like it's been in nearly every top level feud this year. You're just kind of waiting for it to happen. Mm. Also, can we have a tag team, or preferably a group of tag teams that don't break up and are just a tag team? We had that with the Iconics, then they split them up and didn't even do a breakup angle. They just went, oh, it's done now. Or did they split? No, they lost a match where they had to break up.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
Because. Why not?
I know that WWE's priority clearly isn't tag team wrestling right now, but why can't they have tag teams that are just tag teams and just are? I don't know how else to explain it, but it feels like they've now lost that idea, and the tag teams are just single stars waiting to happen.
That's literally it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a means for a few
to
happen.
That goes for the men's division as well, apart from, like, the Usos and the New Day.
Yeah. RK Bro, I guess, at the same time. They're kind of like...
But they were two single stars first.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's true.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Like, but I can see them breaking up as well.
I mean, yeah.
Randy's getting sick of riddles.
Yeah.
Piddle.
Riddles, piddle. But generally, I want more inventive storylines for the women's division as well, because the men in WWE, and it's a like a scattergun approach. Like, the storylines, sometimes they'll hit, sometimes they really won't. But generally, they get more varied ideas thrown at them. Whereas the women's division often centers around physical appearance or jealousy.
Bickering.
And I think that's... I don't want to suggest that's what Vince McMahon thinks all women are like. I'll just end the sentence there. I don't want to suggest that's what Vince McMahon thinks all women are like. It needs to change really soon, especially because it's been such a regression from, like, 3 years ago, when the women's division was legitimately the biggest thing in WWE for a while. Becky and Charlotte and Ronda all good. The police car, the kick through the door of the police car.
Oh, so good.
That was bloody fantastic. So I just want more varied and better storylines for the women's division.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd rather they just got rid of the women's tag team titles.
They just don't care about them that much.
They've
not got any tag teams.
No. Yeah, just get rid of them, and then you can focus just more on the ladies' storylines. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think, yeah, I agree too. Maybe get rid of the women's tag team titles and then maybe put, like, a secondary title, the women's title.
Yeah,
or something
secondary
in
title
there,
could work.
Which
well.
Might work a little bit better. Rather than literally just putting the tag teams together so they can
fuse. The Fox title.
The Fox? Yeah.
Who is the Fox of... No.
Oh, dear. No. That's our pitches video. Everybody.
It's not...
Maybe something like that would be a lot better, but I agree that it there needs to be a change in the women's division in terms of storytelling. Yeah, maybe we are kind of starting to get there a little bit, but it could be so much better than it already is.
Yes.
It's a yes from me. Yeah.
Excellent. Ross, what's your third and final pitch, please?
This one is called Repeats Should Be Left for Dave and Gold and Challenge TV, not WWE.
Repeats.
Rematches.
Yeah.
Rehashed storylines happening at the same time on different shows, which we've seen in 2021. I can't remember the example, but it was something to do with the women where one thing was happening. It was the women the tag team titles and the singles title were getting mixed up on both shows at the same time.
Right.
And I can't remember who was involved, but it happened this year, I'm pretty sure.
Often you'll get a Raw and a SmackDown in the same week that have weirdly similar... Yeah. Clearly Vince just had an idea that week, and
This extends to the same finishes and matches, namely the roll-up. Can they coexist tag team storylines? I'm sure there's more. As we all know, variety is the spice of life! And I guess it's another one for just add on to Jack's... not just the women's roster, but the men's as well. Just storylines, storytelling in WWE just needs a kick up the jacksy.
Mm. Woo! It does. Yeah. It does.
That's the pitch.
That's the pitch.
Repeats. All of them. Yeah. Anything that falls under that umbrella, go away.
Yes.
No, I
yes.
totally agree with it because the product feels so samey right now, doesn't it? It feels like we're going through the same cycles between pay-per-views. The look of it is another part that feels really samey to me as well. You could extend it to the look of the product, the sterile backstage environment.
Whoa!
Well, why is it so pristine? Why don't they just do it in a corridor like they used to?
Yeah, they used to do that.
Why do they need a set?
Because,
I don't know.
But no, I fully agree. So it's a yes from me.
Anything that falls under the umbrella of repeats just go away.
Yeah,
every building looks the same.
It does, like every backstage area looks the same. It's mental.
Deliberately so.
It's a yes from me as well because I think that is one of my biggest gripes with WWE is that it is week to week we often see the same things, and then month to month we often see the same matches on the pay-per-views as well, and everything just blends into one and nothing feels different. And we get to a point where it's like you feel like you watch a Raw from one week to the next and you're like, I just watched that last week. Like, that's literally the same show I just watched, just maybe with some people shuffling about here and there, and it's like, oh god, I just want to see something new. And I completely agree. Sometimes I guess it could potentially lead into a story, like we saw...
Rematches aren't stories.
No.
Believe me.
They can be
stories. I lived through Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin in 2016.
What I mean is, like, so we saw Becky Lynch win with the roll-up, hold on to the rope in the Charlotte match and in the Liv match as well.
Oh, I'd say that's a callback.
But but perhaps it could be building towards something a bit more. And something like that is quite... I say subtle, but it's quite glaring.
It's
what it actually is.
Subtle,
it
is.
Yeah, it's really glaring. But something
but it's
like
unsaid.
That,
it's show, yeah. don't tell. It's show,
something,
don't tell.
Yeah, so yeah something okay. could lead from
the
that.
Rule of stories.
But more often than not, it is literally just a rehash of the same thing.
Look at WrestleMania Backlash. I mean, they called it WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of rematches heading out of WrestleMania. So
there was. And which I get for Backlash.
And I'm not like New Japan... except they've kind of fallen off a bit now, but they use rematches really well because something changes each time and it's like the story's told in the ring.
Yeah.
Whereas WWE, it just feels like they're filling time.
Yeah. I'm going to be asking a question to the audience here.
Oh.
If you, like us, or like me, or like, Jack will do it as well, watch every single minute of every single weekly show in WWE, so you're SmackDown, you're Raw. Well, there's only two, isn't there?
Yeah, but sometimes I speed it up when I watch it.
Yeah, so do I. But if you watch, do you watch every single second of every single show? I'm just intrigued if people do that. Because obviously, if you can just sit there and just look at YouTube and pick, oh, fatty watching that, this point will be lost on you. But when you watch every single second of every single of those weekly shows, it really becomes apparent very easily.
Especially Raw.
Yeah.
Raw starts to recap what's happened in the opening segment, like half an hour in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's 3 hours long and it needs to fill time.
It does.
Did you watch Ikem and Gyro at War Games on the toilet, for example?
What a wonderful use of that man.
That's great, yeah.
Did you see him eat all the food, though?
Yeah,
he had
did.
Two big things of ice cream.
Yeah.
Pizza. And he had a big poo.
Whoa.
That is literally what happened. I can't believe that was a thing.
That happens when I eat.
No, you do, because he pulls some funny faces.
Oh, sorry. I don't pull funny faces.
He's not even American.
Yeah.
That's
funny. That makes it twice as funny.
That does, doesn't it? Oh, I forgot about that.
His face isn't like you on your eyes.
Sorry, guys. Of course.
He wears a funny jacket.
Yeah, we're American as well. Andrew.
Yes.
I've got it on good authority that your second pitch is all about Ikem and Gyro. What is it?
Oh, my goodness. It's not the second one. It's the last one now, isn't it?
Oh, man.
God, what's
that? Third time you've corrected me there. Sorry. I've had two beers.
Third time. On the third.
Sorry,
page.
I've had one beer.
You've had... Wait, what? Oh, yeah, you haven't finished your
breaking
one,
the,
have you?
Breaking the video, Fabe. No, I have finished
oh,
it
Oh, you
now.
Finished it now. Cool.
I've had two whole beers.
Mine is just a massive shake-up to the pay-per-views. And
Mine's just... three-quarters of a page three, film.
No, you see, no, it looks dead.
I was laughing at the...
But it's really just a little... It's just a little... It's because I've spaced it. You know what I mean? The space is in there. And
it
looks
bigger.
Hold
it up to the camera. If that's space
from from there.
And then that as well.
And then the Andrew, tiniest bit afterwards.
Andrew, in exams, were you the guy who was like, sir, I need some more paper, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go to uni and, they're like, you can't exceed this amount of words. And I was like...
In what?
Sweating.
In what exam?
So you could only do... What was it? You could do like 10% of... The word count. You could do 10% more of the word count in uni and like essays and stuff like that. Yeah. And I used to just sweat it out. I used to be like, oh my God, I can't do it. It's because I can't articulate very well. So I'm always like,
getting
to the point. But there's like a giant paragraph of absolute tosh until we get to the point.
Do you not find it, this might be just a stupid writer thing to say, but do you not find it quite satisfying to trim a word count and round off your sentences like a smooth pebble on the beach?
I try, but I can't.
Oh, really?
I'm so bad at it.
Oh, you can learn it.
I'm so bad at it.
No, don't worry.
But yeah, just a massive shake-up to the pay-per-views. I think we don't need the... We don't necessarily need the themed ones if an Extreme Rules only has one Extreme Rules match on the card.
Oh, God, it did.
Yay! Yeah. Or a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view that has two Hell in a Cell matches on it. That just... We should have waited to see if it went in the corner.
Does this go out on the audio feed? I can't remember. Or is it just YouTube?
If you've got another tab open and you're browsing Wikipedia right now or something, we screamed because the TV went off behind us.
We've been talking for so long.
Yeah.
It's just a big, I guess, like a shake up to the pay-per-views. And I've done a proposed pay-per-view calendar.
Okay.
Everybody. In which things actually lead up to the next pay-per-view, almost. So I was thinking about this. I was quite excited about doing this one. Obviously, you get your exceptions to the theme ones, like Elimination Chamber and Money in the Bank, because that does have stakes and it leads to certain things as well. So perhaps keep those things in there, but like an Extreme Rules, you don't need stuff like that, TLC, none of that. Because those matches also now feel not very special, do they? Like...
No.
It would be so good when you'd watch a SmackDown or a Raw or whatever and someone would be like, next pay-per-view, I'm going to beat you in a Hell in a Cell match or a TLC match. And it'd be like such a spontaneous thing rather than just waiting. It's so arbitrary. The specific time in the year that you can have that match.
Yep.
So weird. So my proposed pay-per-view idea is this. So January, we start off with day one, start of the year, perhaps contains some form of gauntlet eliminator match that determines entry numbers for the Royal Rumble.
Perhaps
we'll
run by Xavier Wood. Oh, right. No.
You're making them work New Year's Day.
Well, they're not really working.
It's a no from me.
No, wait, is the day one pay-per-view? That's what happens?
That's day one?
That's what happens?
You could cancel it.
You could do day three.
You call it New Year's Revolution, for example, and have it on like the first weekend of January.
I'm sure they don't. Maybe, I don't know.
Just let him.
Day one, start of the new year, perhaps, it contains some form of gauntlet eliminator match that determines entry numbers for the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Then you have Royal Rumble later on in the month of January. Doesn't need fixing. Men and women's challenges for the world titles at WrestleMania are announced, as always. Yeah. February, we've still got Elimination Chamber. Always feels like a great way to build to WrestleMania and get the Rumble challenges over. And also a good way to build a challenger for the world title that the Rumble winners don't choose to challenge for. March, nothing. Just let the feuds and storylines build and develop rather than rushing a pay-per-view before WrestleMania that essentially leads to nowhere and rushes stories along just for the sake of it. April, obviously WrestleMania, self-explanatory, huge payoff for storylines, new champions crowned. May, I've gone for Backlash still. Great way to properly conclude feuds and get past the rematch clause stuff, making way for new challenges. June, Money in the Bank, start building new said challenges with the contract winners. July, nothing, but keep July free for the Money in the Bank winners to tease who they want to face next. Plus, have the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring tournaments on TV shows, yet have the winners automatically get a major title shot at SummerSlam.
Okay.
So then August, we have SummerSlam. King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring winners get the title shots. September, I was thinking a night or a Clash of Champions. Night of Champions is a great way to showcase new champions if any are crowned at SummerSlam following the King of the Ring or Queen of the Ring challenges. And Clash of, I think, is a better way to begin building brand warfare for Survivor Series and keeps the champion v champion stuff away from Survivor Series as well. October, nothing. Build more compelling storylines towards Survivor Series. Off of Night or Clash of Champions, create feuds that matter and have more substance than the one night only these brands go head to head, obviously. And November Survivor Series, it's the final pay-per-view of the year. Blow-off from September's pay-per-view, Night of Champions or Clash of Champions, add stakes to the team matches. Sole survivor of each team gets a shot, gets a title shot at day one. If there's any multiple winners on the team, then they have to fight on their respective shows the week following the pay-per-view to determine the next contender.
Love
and
that.
Then just rinse, repeat. And that's it for the pay-per-views. Like, have them, have each pay-per-view mean something to lead up to the next pay-per-view. Have stakes, have breaks in months where things can just naturally build as well. And then that's the proposed pay-per-view calendar from the mind of this specky egg.
Right? Andrew, you've gone, there was two routes there, mm-hmm. two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and yeah. you've taken the road less taken. No, you've gone for evolution rather than revolution.
Yes.
So I don't think you've thought outside the box, but what you've done within that box is definitely an improvement.
Yeah.
I love the Survivor Series title contender stuff, and I love King of the Ring leading to a shot at SummerSlam as nice. Well, and Queen of the Ring as well.
Nice.
So I'm giving it a yes.
Thank you.
I see that October has nothing.
October's got no.
Was it July that had nothing?
July has nothing. You
explained the July break.
Yeah. I explained the July break.
But you're still making them work New Year's Day.
No, I'm not making them work New Year's Day. That's Vincent Kennedy McMahon that's making them.
No, you just cancelled two of his pay-per-views, so you can cancel them.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it can build up to something towards Royal Rumble, though.
Why not have it on the first weekend of January? Why New Year's Day? Ruin everyone's plans.
Well, I didn't. Oh, no, I guess day one is specific.
Is morale nothing to you in the locker room?
No, I hate it.
Sounds like it. Yeah. It's a yes apart from that.
Thank you.
Major gripe. Major massive gripe.
Thank you so much.
My final pitch is a selfish one. Really selfish, but, you know, it's the last pitch of the video. Yeah. Who cares? Who cares, guys? I'm going to say that WWE, and it was one that I was going to pitch in the AEW one, but then I realised they want to do it anyway. It's the WWE should do a pay-per-view in the United Kingdom.
Mm.
And not a rebellion, not an insurrection. I forget how it's spelled every time. No, it needs to be a proper one. And I'm not necessarily calling for it to be SummerSlam. We all seem to be obsessed with the idea of SummerSlam coming to the UK. Probably because, but it's 2022.
It's the anniversary, right?
But it doesn't need to be. I think it's asking quite a lot, isn't it, for them to dedicate one of their big four to a UK pay-per-view. But what WWE have proven, rightly or wrongly, in the past couple of years, is that they can hold shows in Saudi Arabia, Australia, huge stadium shows that have more effort put into them, at least production-wise, than everything apart from Mania, which is bizarre.
Why?
Money.
Because people buy them.
Yeah.
We need a rich man from the UK to buy a show for the UK.
Okay.
That's what we need.
Alan Sugar. And he could do a skit on the show. It would be brilliant.
It'd be great, that.
It's the bloody apprentice.
But my thought is, and I know a lot of people were saying they wanted Drew McIntyre versus Tyson Fury. That was the rumour. I know. Ooh. I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. I think.
Would you want that?
Nah.
I'd want it just to see what happens.
Would you?
Yeah, just
Tyson
to see.
Didn't fill me with much intrigue in Saudi Arabia.
What do you
time?
Mean he got up off that giant slam that Braun Strowman gave him?
Right, what else did he do?
Well, he came out to James Brown.
His entrance was the best part, by the way.
Stealing a dream of yours, I imagine.
What you want to do.
Oh, that wasn't your song, was it? What was your entrance music?
The Boss.
What was his? Another James Brown song.
Yeah.
Is it James Brown?
Is that not James Brown?
I don't know, Richard.
Sing it. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It's not, is it?
I can't bang
it. Man, that's not even. Is that James Brown?
I don't know. People I don't think it is.
Wild
I'm not sure.
Oh, no. I've mixed up my soul singers. Anyway.
It was Diana Ross who did that one for Tyson Fury.
Yeah. WWE pay-per-view. Have a NXT UK takeover the night before, because as much as we don't really care about NXT UK, nor have we been given much reason to, the takeovers have been good. So I think that have a takeover the night before, but have the pay-per-view like full of moments tailored to the British crowd. Have celebrities show up. Have Wayne Rooney show up again. Maybe not Wayne Rooney. But why do we not get that money? You've answered. The problem is you've taken the steam out of my pitch because you answered it within seconds of the start. So
your pitch actually is to any billionaire, trillionaires watching. Is there no Elon Musk's the first trillionaire, isn't he?
Is he?
Well, going to be very soon because of this new thing he's launched.
Well,
you'll know what
pitching
it's on
it
about.
To any.
What is it, Richard?
Shiba Coin.
Is it? No. I thought you would know.
Aren't you a crypto bro?
He's a crypto bro.
He is a crypto bro. But we need the pitch is to a billionaire just to buy your pay-per-view for the UK.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll take that then.
I mean, yeah, I want to see how you get a bit of you.
Let's go.
But yow. Big time. Yeah, I want to see you
we'll
get a bit of you.
We'll all go down to this imaginary pay-per-view.
No, we won't. We'll sit up here and cover it for our jobs.
Yes. I can see it not being a major pay-per-view one. I say mainly because of this, but obviously the time difference, like the way it'd be broadcast to American audiences and stuff.
That's a thing, isn't it? SummerSlam was in the evening for the UK, but you couldn't possibly avoid spoilers now, could you, with the internet?
No, that's it.
You could in 1992, yeah.
So I guess maybe...
It's like Home Alone versus Home Sweet Home Alone.
Yeah. I guess the only way for...
I've not seen it yet.
Have you not? Apparently it's really bad.
How have they dodged the modern-day technology of everything?
That's a good question.
It makes sense in 1992.
It did, didn't it? But now when you've got all the security locks and everything.
FaceTime. You're fine, aren't you?
In the night time, you get like the cats going up to the camera and it sets it off and you see your cat's fit. It's good. Yeah. It's so good. I don't know what I'm on about.
What do you think of the pitch?
Yeah, I really liked you. But I think the only way we could see a UK one happen, a UK pay-per-view happen, is if it's in like the same kind of vein as a Saudi show in terms of, you know, like that's on. Yeah.
Except the last one really was, but well, yeah, I said about what you five generally times. Mean. Yeah.
Sorry. But that's the only way I could really see that happening. But I mean, I'd love to go. I mean,
don't you give it a yes just because I've said it.
No, because
don't you do it?
I've never been to a WWE pay per view. I've been to shows and stuff. But there we go. I'm making it happen. You're making it happen, and I applaud you for that. And I would love to go. But as Ross said, we're probably just sat here just watching it anyway. So
we'll have it in Newcastle.
But we can pretend. We can pretend. We'll have it in Newcastle.
We'll have it in the Academy.
We'll have it. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, please. So it's a yes from me because it personally is obviously someone from the UK. I would love to see that and experience it for the first time. So
yeah.
Well, tough.
Are we not having it?
You picked a job to cover wrestling for a living.
I did. That's true.
Therefore, taking your privilege away to enjoy the wrestling you cover.
Thank you. Thanks, boss.
And on that sunny note, on that wonderful optimistic note.
Hey, did he give one? What did you say?
Oh, yeah.
You said yeah?
Yeah, the pitch was that we'd need a billionaire to come and buy something.
Oh, yeah, Ross, of course. Yeah, sorry.
Ross said yes, but changed my pitch entirely to make it better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fair.
make it more accurate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, exactly. On that wonderful note, though, thank you very much for watching this Pitches video. This has been 9 Pitches for WWE in 2022. Thank you to Ross and Andrew for joining me on this quite deep journey at times.
Yeah,
we discussed some important issues. We got a bit hostile
towards the end there.
We drank some beer as well.
Yeah.
Leave your thoughts and opinions in that comment section down below and keep an eye out for all of our wonderful content coming up this month as well. Thank you very much for watching and we'll see you very soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.